I love the sound of breaking glass. J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro. I need the noises of destruction.
This is Bro on the Global Literary Beat, Breaking Glass. Today's episode, the crime novel post-containment and post-Black Lives Matter. Will it ever be the same? As the world begins to wake up and we enter the period of post-confinement, in France, the first major festival return, just prior to the reopening of the Cannes Film Festival, was the just-concluded Quai du Polar, the global festival of crime writing, the largest of its kind, if not in the world, then definitely in Europe. There was an air of hesitancy, of dipping a toe into the water, with everyone inside except the speakers kept at a distance from the audience, wearing masks, and the crime novel Book Fair moved to tents outside the main hall. There was also an air of hesitancy because this was the first crime writing festival, one branch of which in France is called the Policière, which celebrates the deductive skill and thirst for justice of the police, post the global questioning of the tactics and ends of the police in the wake of the Black Lives Matter protests. The health restriction generally did guarantee an air of safety about the festival, as one security guard checked bags, the result of the largely overblown and previous terrorist pandemic, while a second one made sure everyone used the hand lotion before entering the building, the result of the latest pandemic. Travel between countries is still a question, as R.J. Ellery from England and the continent's most popular crime writer, Iceland Arnaldur Indriðason, whose novel begat the Hollywood film Jar City, were both unable to come because of the quarantine restrictions active upon their return to their country. This was balanced out by remote appearances by the American recounter of drug traffic, Don Winslow, and the Brazilian author of a series of books on the Amazon city of Belém, a site not only of exploitation of natural resources, but also of drug traffic. France has now started vaccinating at a rapid rate, hoping to reach the 70% mark by the end of the summer, with the cases falling every day. But as with the rest of the world, with the threat of ever more contagious variants, can you say Delta or worse yet, Delta Plus, hovering over this attempt to restart this branch of French soft power. The country, though behind the US and Britain, leads Europe in the number and global range of its publications and translations of this most popular of all genres of fiction. Through festivals like the Quai du Polar, France strengthens its hold on the genre, not only because French authors pour out a seemingly endless supply of crime novels, but also because its translators bring novels in from all over Europe and the rest of the world, and in that way, the country becomes the mediator and meeting place for global crime fiction, which, because of its place on the market, functions almost like a branch of the world-leading French luxury industry, which makes high-end clothes, perfumes, and accessories. Which brings us to the twin poles of the crime novel. In France, for every policière, whose tradition goes back to Sherlock Holmes and Agatha Christie, and which fits the entertainment-slash-luxury industry mold, there's also a more hard-boiled element of crime fiction in the Dashiell Hammett, Raymond Chandler tradition, with a much more socially situated milieu and a critical message called the roman noir. The difference was readily apparent at the festival. Le Monde, the newspaper of the center-left, fired the first salvo in its pre-festival article, where it questioned the very idea of fiction from the point of view of the police in light of the George Floyd and other killings and the demands of justice from a police force whose budget for domestic control in the U.S. makes it the sixth largest military budget in the world. Le Monde quoted the American contemporary noir novelist Benjamin Whitmer, who criticized his own genre in which, he said, the daily violence of the police is totally ignored. Whitmer, the author of Cry Father and Pike, then elaborated on his refusal to romanticize this now much criticized institution. I do not write about good cops for the same reason I do not write about unicorns. Neither exists, he said, and added that, if the police do their work correctly, That work is violence against the poor and working class for the protection of the upper class. This view was echoed by some of the speakers in the festival. The conservative weekly digest Le Point countered with its view of the crime novel in an elaborate feature on the cozy mystery. Here, writers, often in a nostalgic, aristocratic vein, like S.J. Bennett's The Windsor Knot on the Royal Family, return to the locked room mysteries, which, though they exhibit a good deal of humor, one of the cozy authors, M.C. Beaton's books, is entitled The Quiche of Death, and her absolutely fabulous type character is named Agatha Raisin, in homage to her predecessor. These books, though, disdain any social implications of crime and see it as a puzzle to be solved, rather than as an opening onto a deeper examination of the society. The hard-boiled novelists often echoed Whitmer's sentiments on the police. In his nonfiction, The Business Secrets of Drug Dealing, journalist Matt Taibbi describes the account of an anonymous marijuana dealer who claims that the police, far from being the expert sleuths of crime fiction and crime TV series such as CSI, in fact, operate mainly by grabbing informers off the street and beating on them until they give up names, with the testimony often inaccurate because it's obtained under duress. The Greek author Minos Ephthediadis, who's the diver, is about the relation between Germany and Greece, with the latter subservient to the former during the 2008 government debt crisis, suggested that the police, far from battling crime, are part of a worldwide network that supports the worst elements of criminal activity, exploiting the weakest members of society: underage trafficking, drug dealers, child pornography, and female slavery. Without that support, he claimed, these activities would never be allowed to flourish. Arpad Soltes, from the former Yugoslav country of Slovakia, in his latest novel, Swine, writes about how organized crime, in the form of the Calabrian mafia, the Nrgenta, has insinuated itself into the highest levels of that society in both government and law enforcement. The novel, which begins and ends with the assassination of a journalist, recounts 25 years in the history of the country where one regime, claiming it was battling corruption, succeeded another and then became corrupt itself. Hard not to think of Joe Biden's equally Trump-like but suppressed Ukraine antics, or his promise and then refusal to back the $15 minimum wage, and his generosity in forgiving 0.2% of student debt after promising to forgive 50%, etc. Carlo Lucarelli, whose Commissioner De Luca began as an inspector in the Mussolini fascist period in An Italian Affair, follows De Luca into the 50s as, with the U.S.-backed Christian Democrats in power, in order to pursue justice, he must join a secret service so secret it was never given a name, where he finds his former fascist police colleagues restored to power. Or reminded of the continual interplay in the U.S. between the Klan and other right-wing groups and the police, much in evidence in the way right-wing violence was tolerated and condoned, while any street violence was brutally repressed. In Germany also, the recent connection between the far-right AfD and the police was widely reported. Another one of the noir novels which illustrate social ills was Jerika Pavicic's Red Water, named the best Ural crime novel of the year. Pavicic, from the ex-Yugoslav country of Croatia, uses the 30-year investigation of the disappearance of a 17-year-old girl to recount three different eras in his native town of Split, on the new most desired tourist site in Europe, the Dalmatian coast. Pavicic explains that he did not travel, but staying put in his native town was like watching three different cities. During the Soviet era in the 1980s, Split was a mining town, which he compared to the north of England, which boasted a well-known soccer team sponsored by the mine. With the fall of the Soviet Union, as in Russia and many of the countries in the East, the go-go 1990s, where everything collapsed, saw the deindustrialization of the town as industry moved further east or to Asia, and as corruption ruled, as fortunes were quickly seized. In the 2000s, Split has remade itself again, this time as part of the global tourist boom in which the Dalmatian coast has thrived, with The Guardian calling the nearby city of Zadar the hippest place in the world. Redwater charts these changes with a jaundiced eye of a world-weary observer. On the cozy mystery side, there was Lionel Froissart, a former race car journalist who has just written a novel about the death of the much-loved Princess Diana. Froissart, though, refuses to entertain the many theories around Diana's death, perhaps involving the royal family, and instead blames the death on a poor black woman from the banlieue or urban slums, focusing not on the potential assassination, but on the car that caused the crack-up. Elsewhere, Nicholas Not Ugdug, from a Swedish aristocrat family who he said had a good run from the 13th to the 16th centuries, and the author of two historical novels, 1793 and 1794, claimed that he focused on the aristocracy who commit crimes, not because they are more untrustworthy than the poor, but because they are more imaginative. At the heart of the Roman noir's ability to shed light on forgotten periods of history was Thomas Cantalube's Fracas, set in France and Cameroon in 1962, where Cantaloube, an ex-journalist for the investigative website Mediapar, related that France, after losing Indochina and Algeria, had settled on its new colony of choice. The French government went so far as to commission a study by a team of geologists to determine what raw materials were available to be looted underneath Cameroonian soil. Cantaloube's book details how the French, in the period after Cameroon achieved independence and while it was attempting to then achieve financial sovereignty, acted with the government to punish and eliminate those freedom fighters who wanted to continue the struggle. Cantaloube's work, both in Fracas and in his previous Requiem for a Republic, which detailed the merger of gangsters and government in the Marseille of 1936, illustrates how the noir novel can illuminate social problems instead of concealing them, as practiced in its opposite, the cozy mystery. Carlo Lucarelli exemplified this in his three-day plan for how he hoped readers would react to his fiction. The first night, they would be up all night reading. The second night, they would be troubled by what they read and be up all night disturbed. The third night, he hoped, they would be up all night trying to figure out how things could be different. This is Bro on the Global Literary Beat, Breaking Glass. Oh, change of mind, something
breaking glass. Dennis Bro is the author of Film Noir, American Workers and Postwar Hollywood, Class Crime and International Film Noir, and Maverick or How the West Was Lost. Is Hyper-Industrialism and Television Seriality, The End of Leisure and the Birth of the Binge. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes jazzistiques et artistiques à notre écoute.